Today, I'm joined by Jolene Russ, a person directly impacted by the prison system, and she's fighting for the release of her husband, Brian Russ. Jolene, welcome back to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thanks so much for having me back.
So, before we dive into anything related to your personal story, the legislature just closed for the summer, and there were some bills that were on the table related to fair and timely parole and elder parole, and many other actual bills related to justice reform. And I'm wondering if you can respond to what just happened in the legislative session.
Man. That is a disappointment for sure. Like you had mentioned, fair and timely and elder parole. They're both great bills. Fair and timely, honestly, is the way the parole carceral system, New York State should operate. That's how it should be. It would value a person for who they are today, release them based on what they've done since being incarcerated. You know, not just keep going back to the day of the crime. Elder parole, that's another like no-brainer. It really felt like this was going to be the year that we would see these bills finally pass because, you know, they sold us a real big dream of reimagine, reinvent, that we were going to rebuild, we were going to do better, we were going to learn the lesson, and it doesn't seem like that happened at all. There were some other great bills on the table. Clean Slate was out there. That got to the floor and it got bounced around, and they ended up not passing that. They did pass a bill that's referred to as Less is More. That's a good bill, but it goes after parole on the back end after a person is released. And it seemed like after everything we learned with COVID and after everything that we had all been through throughout the pandemic, that we would finally see an overhaul to this system that is so unjust and has always been so racially fueled. Like, it's known as a racist system. The prison system, extended by the policing system, all of that. It felt like it was going to be our year, and it's a huge disappointment that fair and timely didn't get to the floor. The elder parole never even got the kind of votes that it needed to. And that, like, there's so much dead legislation. There's so much legislation that's out, good legislation, and some of it very modest, that could have been passed. Things like Assemblyman Robert Carroll, he holds a bill that would cap sentencing at like 25 years. It's a modest change. And it makes a lot of sense because it could save a lot of dollars. People are so abstinent and so stuck. They don't want to see anything really change. I could go on with this for a long time because I have a lot of disappointment, not just in the legislative process, but in the legislators themselves.
And so they have the supermajority, right? So if this can't happen with the supermajority, what happens sort of with the activist side going into the next session?
That's a great question. That's exactly what we've been asking. Like, what do we do now? If we have the supermajority now, if you're not going to pass it now this year, then when? When is going to be the right time to do this? Like, it just feels like they don't want the change that they really talk about. They talk about they want these systems and structures to be better. They want them to be more equal. They want them to be more just and fair. And it's all really feeling like lip service because we meet with these legislators. We meet with their staff. We meet with all kinds of people and do this advocacy work and tell our stories and really put ourselves out there and give them the nitty gritty and the vulnerable parts of us. And over and over and over again, not once. Not 1 year, not 2 years, for several years. And now you have a supermajority still doing nothing. It just feels like you really don't want the change that you talk about. And that's very sad. You lose trust in government when you participate honestly for so long and you get so little result. It affects you. I understand why a lot of people lose faith in government or in politicians and why they get the rap that they do because they don't bring the change that they talk about.
Now, Jolene Russ, we're entering the summer season here where last summer in the Capital Region, we had a ton of gun violence. What is your reaction to linking gun violence with the importance of releasing rehabilitated people from prison?
Man, that's complicated. But if you really think about it, It's something that really needs to be explored. There is a generation of people missing from these communities. It's a lot of young kids that need these elders that are in prison, that if they continue on the path that they're currently on right now, that is glorifying a violent lifestyle or, you know, using guns to control their environment. People use guns for a lot of reasons, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I know about them all. There's one person that could tell you about gun violence, and that's someone that has committed gun violence and that's sitting in prison and that has learned the lessons of their experiences. But by the time that these young people get to these mentors that we all talk about in all the stories that we've told the legislators, the damage has been done to the community. The damage has been done to the families. The damage has been done to the victims. The damage has been done to the families of the people in prison. So we need to make our system work for us. Instead of continuing this cycle of incarceration, continuing this cycle of over-punitiveness, which I'm not exactly sure is a word, but like being fixed on punishment doesn't serve anyone. If we don't want to transform people, if we're not looking to rehabilitate people and then bring them back out in the community to enhance the same situations that they harmed, what are we really doing? Some people may say that releasing people right now with the gun violence isn't the best choice. Who's the most credible messenger right now to go to someone that's in the midst of the lifestyle of gun violence than someone that has committed the gun violence? We need to think, explore all the options here. What has been done already isn't working now. It never worked in the beginning. They declared a war on drugs in this country, right? So eventually that produced mass incarceration. And then the war on crime enhanced mass incarceration. The 94 crime bill, things of this nature, all they did was create these huge sentences for people that you can't live down. So now we have a generation of people that have been locked away in cells, generations, plural, of people who have been disenfranchised. So gun ownership, which is a constitutional right in this country, is now a crime for you. The topic is so huge, so it's hard to zero in on what the actual answer is. But maybe the short of it is to start the conversation with everyone at the table, including the people that have committed gun violence. Everyone knows me as an advocate for clemency because we've been applying for a commutation for my husband by way of executive clemency through the governor for about 5 years now. The governor could sit down, and he a lot of times will award clemency to people that do aggression replacement training or anti-violence programs. He could gather up a lot of people that are in prison right now that have applied for clemency. He's got thousands of applications on his desk. He could put these people into a committee of some sort or a council of some sort. He could use the resources that are at his disposal. He could get them in the conversation. He could release them. He could. There's so many people in prison who come out here and are doing such good. That's where your answer is. It's in there.
Julian, so you mentioned your husband, Brian Russ, who you've been advocating for his clemency.
There's two different kinds of sentences in New York State, indeterminate sentences and determinate sentences. And Brian has a determinate sentence of 40 years, and then does 85% of that, that's 34 years. So the short answer is he has 13 years left to serve.
Jolene, we're quickly running out of time, but I just want to make sure that I give you the last word. Is there anything else that you want to make sure that we touch on here in this interview today?
I think we need to stop trying to look through the same old lens and really broaden our picture so we can get to the roots of the problem. There's been so many people that are left out of the conversation or thought to be tossed away by society in general, whose voice could be extremely valuable here. But the relationships need to be built, and it's got to start somewhere. So like every person, the way that is done is just by being a half less judgmental when you start a conversation. instead of having to know what you're talking about, just accept that you want to listen first.
Great. Jolene, Russ, thank you so much for joining us again on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you.